I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or with the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Other words from me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, go to the website, hit the join button, become a member. You get extra shows, Tuesday shows ad-free, and overtime segments when they're available. And you can have that stuff, all that good on the YouTube channel as well. Become a member there if you like consuming your content on YouTube. Also, go ahead and check out MerkelFilms.com. That's MerkelFilms.com. We have two documentaries on there now. We're coming out with our third one very soon. By the time you hear this, maybe it's already out. It's called Sasquatch and the Missing Man. Go ahead to MerkelFilms.com and see if it's there when you hear this. All right, today we got Joel and Justin in the show. I'm sick and tired of being surrounded by guys with J's. We got Jack, Justin, and Joel. We got Joseph, We got Joe, the camera guy. Like I'm really getting tapped here with the J's, and it's driving me nuts because I will inevitably mess up people's names during this recording. So just bear with me. But yeah, so we got Justin from Appalachia Intelligence, and we got Joel from Joel. last night we had a good time. You weren't here, Justin, but I was like, you know, I want to go hunt a monster, and I knew you were coming down. And I was like, Joel, you want to come down and hunt a monster with me, and then hop on with Justin to talk about stuff? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'm already going to South Carolina to, you know, steal books from my dad. So his dad's got a whole library of like books that great for research. And,
really?
Yeah. And he's like, just load it up in his car and take it home. His dad's not even gonna know it's gone. It's like a bandit.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of theology, and I mean, he's got like old Aquinas stuff and Josephus and all this stuff. So I'm going down there, not specifically for that, but I know he's been compiling these collections, and he's already given me a lot of like Hebrew dictionaries and stuff. And I'm trying to get some of this other stuff off of him because he doesn't really want to get rid of it. I'm like, well, just give it to me and stay in the family, then I can use it.
I don't know, son. I don't know if you can handle it yet. It's like, Dad, I'm over 40 years old.
Funny story, though. He actually used to tell me that when I was a kid. So in his church library that he had, his personal library in the back, it was massive. There was a section I was not allowed to touch.
Really?
I would go in there, and he's like, you can't read those. For years, he's telling me that. It was like all this occult stuff about the occult, and then like,
so he pushed you into it.
No, exactly. They weren't like occult books, but it was breakdowns on how the occult is attached to you know, demonic entities and all that. Some of it was like exorcism stuff, just different, you know, literature, but he wouldn't let me read it. And I remember, I think I was either junior in high school or I was a senior, and I hadn't asked him in a long time, and I remember I was like, hey Dad, you care if I was like, go ahead, boy.
Boy, it the term of, that's that term of endearment, you know? Go ahead, my boy.
Yeah.
You're ready. It's like you just graduated, you know?
Yeah. You're ready for the master class.
The master class. This is going to carry you for the rest of your life.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, last night we went out to this location, and it's becoming a very important place to me for many reasons, but we actually were out there last November, right? It was November. And it's the same place that we were charged at by something that came running right up on us. And have you ever had something run right up on you and it's completely invisible?
No.
No? I thought that happened to everybody.
No, it's never happened. I mean, I could imagine the effect that it would have, you know.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
So I'm just like, that happened, and we were able to catch it on camera. That'll come out on a documentary sometime in 2025. But when that happened, like, it was like, you know how, so I talk to these people, and over the years, you're like, you start seeing the patterns where sometimes people have experiences and it pushes them away from the topic. They're just like, oh my gosh, like, what was that? I don't want anything to do with it. And then other people, it's like, I gotta know more.
Yeah.
I had that experience with Joel, and I'm in the woods, and as soon as we make it out to the main trail, like that switch clicked in my head, because I felt like I was back at safety for whatever reason, which I wasn't, but the switch clicked in my head, and I was like, oh, I'm coming back here. You know?
Yeah.
And I can't help myself. Like, I'm in love with the area. And so we actually used the same area for the Sasquatch and the Missing Man documentary to shoot the reenactment of Wes Germer's experience. And while we were there, Jack and Joel were assisting with the production of it. And Ward was the camera operator, and we had two actors. And so I had nothing to do. So I was sitting in a warm truck. I had the seat heater on. I was bored, called my parents. I was like, hey guys, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while. And they're like, oh, we're just sitting around, hanging out alone together. That's, I guess, what you do when you're old and married. And just kids are gone and you just hang out. So I was sitting there talking to my parents, and I hear something outside, and it's like this, it sounded like a clicking. I'm like, what the heck is that? And So I told my parents, hang on. And I told them to quiet down. You know, it's getting serious now. And because mind you, I had the experience a few months back where we were charged by something we couldn't see. And I'm hearing this clicking noise that I'm like, does that sound like the Predator? And so I cracked the window and it's like, sounds like it's right there. And it's just like clicking. La, 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 la. I was like, and I'm like, you guys hear that? And my mom's like, close your window right now. She might as well added a young man, you know?
Boy.
And so I did. I listened to mama. And I said, all right, guys, I got to go. I got to figure this out. And so I waited for a lull in it. And I got out of the truck and I walked up to the guys. And I could still hear, but it was down towards my truck. And, you know, we all at some point throughout the night heard it. We don't know what it was necessarily. Justin, I contacted Justin from Cryptids of the Corn. You know, it's nice to have a friend that's a biologist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I use him all the time.
I know. It's just like, hey, what's this? And he's like, it's a bug, dude. It's a bug.
Chill out.
Yeah, chill. You know? But he's been sending me videos of different sounds from East Tennessee. And we haven't found anything that was in the videos that were close. Last night we were out there and we heard a bunch of frogs that were making similar sounds. But I don't know. I go back and forth on it. I mean, could it be a frog? Let's just err on the side of caution. It was a frog, right? But I know what I heard that night. And even last night, what we heard wasn't identical at all.
Yeah.
But in the process of trying to discover this, Justin said to me, maybe it's a shoebill. I'm like, what's a shoebill? Like, is that like, you know, somebody still owes on a pair of shoes, you know? Like, what is that, you know? And he tells me that a shoebill is an African bird. I guess they're very endangered and they're from like the dinosaur era. And he said there's like a known number of like around 2,000 in the wild. They have like two or three in captivity. And he believes that there's actually more sold on the black market than there are in the wild. And he said that there's a real like market for these things on the like the illegal pet trade. I'm like, illegal what? You know, like, and he said maybe somebody got a shoebill bird and let it go into the wild. And I'm like, okay, so like we're looking for a little sparrow or something. He's like, oh no, these things get 5.5-6 feet tall. I'm like, what? Sends me a video, and it was the closest thing I had heard to what I heard in person, other than the pitch. So what the shoebill, it's like, it does the clicking, it lifts his head back, it does the clicking, but it's a deeper sound. And what I heard was a much more higher pitch, very much like the Predator. Huh. And he said, if it is a shoebill, like I think Justin wanted it to be a shoebill.
Yeah, of course.
and he goes, if it is a shoebill, maybe it's a juvenile and maybe their pitch is higher. I think he was guessing, he wasn't sure. And so I was like, I said to Joel, I said, man, why don't you come over here? We'll go out. We'll look for either the Predator or shoebill, you know, like one of the two, like either way, we're looking for something that shouldn't be here. You know, we did have some activity though. We thought we were running up on a landing spaceship at one point. Okay. That was interesting, but that was a false alarm. I think
it looked like two lights out there. At first they were like orbs maybe. And then it looked like, well, man, they kind of grouped together. And I think Jack was like, could be a craft. And then I kept saying, every time they would say something, I was like, in three little grays. And then they were like, why do you keep saying three little grays? I was like, because that's the worst case scenario. We walk up and there's three grays.
So here's the thing, like, we're coming down this trail and it's going to open up into a big open field. And that's where these lights are. And I'm like, man, like, what? Because like, we're like a mile away from the truck. And, I'm thinking to myself, if there's a landed craft here and there's three grays and they're just like, come on in, like, what am I going to do? Run? It's downpouring rain. Like it was pouring last night. We were out there for like 3 or 4 hours and pouring down rain, hiking through mud. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to run up and down these hills from aliens who just pierce the veil. They're like, where are you going? Like, they're gonna pop up in front of me like, stop slipping and sliding, just get in, we're gonna do some butt stuff. It's just gonna be like, yo, I don't want to be probed tonight, guys.
We've already telepathically prepared you don't even know, so just come on, stop resisting.
Yeah,
get
so
in the craft.
I fortunately, I think it was more of like an optical illusion. The lights were even further off in civilization somewhere else
We didn't keep walking. We got to the field. We saw the lights were in the field. We're like, we don't want to follow the lights anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. We're tired and wet. But what's interesting about going out last night is Jack had gone out with our friend Derek the night before down there, and they had heard some things, and Derek had gone, you know, and decided to let out a howl or something. Jack, are you hooked up to a mic?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us what happened? Because I don't really remember exactly.
So we went out, and then we got to the first or second knoll, second hill, and Derek let out a little whoop. And I'll preface this by saying we had been hearing hoots from owls the whole way up the trail. And as soon as he did that, then we heard these wolves just let out these howls. So we heard one,
yeah,
and it lasted about 5 to 6 seconds. And we heard another right after that, a little bit higher pitch, another 5 to 6 seconds. And then I started filming, and it was about another 10 seconds because we thought we missed them. And then three howled right at the same time, all different pitches. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment when we were like, yeah.
And you got that done on video. Yeah. It's real faint, but you should see if you can plug that in and let people hear. If you can mess with the audio and stuff to make it more pulled through.
Sure.
That'd be kind of cool. So yeah, the night before he has wolves going off in East Tennessee, mind you. Now there could be, I think it's called a red wolf that they introduced here, tried reintroducing here, and they say it didn't take, but I got a guy coming in next month who has 80 acres here in town, or not in town, on the outside of town. And he has a red wolf on his game trail cam. So game cam trail. How am I saying that? Am I saying it right? Doesn't matter. I still can't remember that word. Let's not go back to that.
Go back and kill the whole process.
I'm going to kill the whole thing. But so these wolves go off when he was there. But last night on the way back is when activity started kicking up. And it's like, this area is a very special area and things happen here. And a lot of things. And so we're walking back, and that's when something is happening.
Yeah.
And it's happening to all of us at the same time. I'll let you start that, because like you're the one that first had it
happen. Yeah. So the first thing that happened was a thump on the left behind me. And we all kind of turned around there. We're like, what was that? And it was like, you know, it could be a tree branch or something. I mean, you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Then we kept walking, and something like shot behind me. I could feel it and touched my hoodie.
He was in mid sentence too, talking to, because like when you're out there, maybe other people are more professional than me, but but we have the philosophy of just existing environments, right?
Yeah.
And the Browns out in Washington, they say that the more human you act, the more they'll just come in if you just do you.
In a preface, we weren't in a forested area at the time. So it wasn't like I was walking through trees and something, you know, a tree branch
touched. Well, we were walking through trees. We were on a big path.
Right.
Yeah. But we were in a forested area.
Right.
Yeah,
I just mean like
downtown.
We weren't walking between trees in a thick area.
We weren't chopping down trees to make a path.
Right.
So we were just talking, and when things happen, as soon as it calms down, we just go back to talking. Because it's like, well, what are you going to
do? Yeah.
And so he's in mid-sentence, and he just goes, huh! And he just spins, and his lights go on, and he's like, something just ran behind me. And I was like, all right, here we go. And I'd say probably, in a 5-minute, 10-minute period? I don't remember the exact order of everything, but we heard, like, it runs across the trail, and then we hear it on the left side. And then we hear it on the right side.
Well, the one time it got so close on the left side, we all drew.
That was the last time that we...
Yeah.
But the thing, I think that's when it got so close on the left side, like it was right in the tree line, and you hear a big like snap. Like it was just like, boom. Like not like a stepping, like it was something that, like it was like a tree branch just going like a big, you know, right,
yeah,
like up high. And we all spin, wah, you know, lights on, drawn out. And we're not seeing anything, but then that's when we hear the canines. I'll just call them canines. going off in the distance, and it, they weren't coyotes. Like, you know, the coyote sound, these were more howls, like what we heard, what he heard the night before, but further back, like further away. And so we're like, what the heck is going on here with that? You know? So we just keep going, and we're going through, and there's a lot of down trees we had to go around and everything. And this one, it's kind of weird, because we've all concurred at the same time on this one too. Excuse me, my voice still trying to wake up. There we go, back to the good radio voice. So we going out to that field. It's like, let's just say it's a mile. You know how long it took. Like you feel, but coming back, the trip just went like that.
But that wasn't the big thing, right?
I know. Go ahead.
So the big thing that happened was on the way up, there's this giant tree branch, and I'm not even say branch, more like a tree, like a piece of a tree. I don't even know if that was a branch really, because we were looking around to see if it would have fallen off of something. It was too big. It looked like it had been like broken off, like a piece of it was part of the trunk. Like it just seemed like it was broken off, and it was laying in the middle of the path, which isn't unusual there because stuff will fall. And there was something right after it that had fallen that we saw where it was. It bent over. It was fallen. We actually had to crawl under it or move under it. There was a big branch here. Jack had been out there the night before. It wasn't there when he was out there. Doesn't mean anything, you know, whatever. It could have fallen. We didn't think much about it. We walked down there, and on the way back, like he said, I even mentioned it. I was like, guys, you feel like this is the truck's right here. It really didn't seem like we walked as long back as we did there. Guess what? On the way back, we never saw that branch, that giant tree.
Because like that's a marker.
It was gone.
It's a marker. Like you're running through your head. Like how? So Jack was the first one. He's like, "We're back at the truck. It's right over there." And when he said that, I thought he meant like, "Oh, we have to go down that one hill, up another hill, go down the one hill, go around that one tree where that branch was, then go down a few more hills, and then it's there." Like I thought we're like half a mile still, you know? He's like, "Well, we're kind of close." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, bro." No, he was like, when I shined the light, like we saw this like fence, and I was like, "Oh, we're right there." And I'm like, "Where the heck did that branch? Like, we didn't pass it.
I remember going under the tree and never going around.
Yeah,
that other tree." It wasn't there.
And it's like...
It disappeared.
The whole way back, it's a marker in my brain because I'm like, once I hit that spot, I know I'm getting closer. And I never hit that spot, which is why I didn't think that...
You thought you were still half a mile.
Yeah. I was like, I'm still running away from the grays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't know. It was interesting. It was interesting. And I think that's the first time that we went out in the downpouring rain like that.
Yeah.
And I was excited about it because, like, one, I know we wanted to get out there early, which I'm kind of glad we didn't. We should probably remember that for next time, just to plan for late ones. But because Joel hit a lot of traffic and he was late. I think he rolled in here, 9:30 at night?
Almost 10.
By the time we got out there, it was like 11, 11:30. And we didn't leave until like 3 or something like that. Or I got home at 3:30, so whatever that was. Anyways, so we're out there for a while and it's downpouring rain. And I'm thinking, you know, we're not going to hear anything coming in on us. And I was excited about that. I was like, let's see how this goes. You know, like we're out there, we hear crunching leaves a lot of times and things that kind of, I'm telling you, like all you hear is the rain.
Yeah.
And then these large branches snapping. And I'm just like, yeah, this was actually a good move. Interesting night for sure. I wake up this morning. My wife tells me, she's like, "Hey, I just read an article that they're saying that there's this new disorder. I think the abbreviation is PMO. And it's like this long word that she can't even pronounce. And if she can't, I definitely can't." And so like, but she's like, they say that the people who have this disorder have the disorder is that when they look at somebody, their face changes and looks like a demon. And like they said, I'm telling you, like
it was in CNN.
It was a CNN article. And
a disorder.
Yeah, okay. I know. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So she said that what people are saying they're describing is that people's faces look like dragons. Their ears get pointy. Their eyes start going real wide. They have because they showed like computer images of like the person was saying like, this is what the person looks like. And they kind of like made the person, somebody's face look like what the person's saying and he's seeing. Like the one looked like canine. They would see the third eye in the middle of the forehead. They would see, I'm telling you, bro. Like, and they're like, we discovered a new disorder. A new disorder. So anytime anybody who says that the person's face changed in front of them and they're like, this person's demonically possessed because their face just like literally transformed in front. Oh, no, that's not a them problem.
That's this.
It's a you problem. And you just have a disorder and you need to be put on medication.
The other thing
They're gearing up. They're gearing up for more of that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're laying the groundwork for the excuse train.
The other piece that you missed that she told us this morning, Tony, was that if they looked in the mirror at themselves, it also changed how they looked. Oh. That was the other one she mentioned.
That's right. So like when they're looking in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
And what are mirrors?
Portals. All together now.
So yeah.
That's crazy. Again, just initial thought. That's what they're doing. They're gearing up for, look, a lot of this is going to be happening. You're going to be seeing more of this. Some of you are going to be more sensitive to the fact that, you can kind of see these things, call out these things. But that's just a disorder. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal.
So along with that, there goes the other thing that they just broke out earlier, probably like a few months ago, where they said that people who had severe cases of COVID-19 are four times more likely to develop schizophrenia.
Mm.
And so you have that as well. And so they're laying this groundwork for these medical disorders for people who are hearing voices, seeing faces change. And I personally feel like they are laying that groundwork because we're, like I told Joel on the way in here, he's like, something's going to happen this year. And you mentioned aliens at first. I'm like, bro, I think people are going to start seeing demons everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like crazy. And they're gonna be like, oh, no. We just have a really mentally sick society. That's not correct. You can't say that, only if it's on their agenda and their terms, right?
Yeah.
So, So speaking of demons, though, what about Lilith? What's going on with Lilith these days?
Well, I mean, you guys may have encountered her last night.
Yeah.
Coming out into the day, she likes to be a little tricky. I know that almost every time that I've went in to talk about her or to share some stories or research, stuff will start getting really weird.
Mm.
So when you messaged actually last night and were like, hey, we're just now getting in the woods, and I knew y'all were kind of going, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be in prayer for these dudes. And not for the fact, because I know that y'all can't handle yourselves and take care of yourselves.
We can't, but yeah.
But she gets tricky again. Yeah. Like it gets weird. It's really weird. So I was like, coming into today with this level of illumination and exposure that we're bringing this way, these guys better watch out.
Yeah.
There's going to be some stuff happening. When I laid down last night, I was like, well, I know some stuff's going to happen. I just don't know what. So they're going to have a pretty fun night anyway. But when I got that, when I woke up and I got that message, I think it was like 3:27, said, we survived. I was like, whew. Thank God.
I was getting ready. I was kind of winding down the night, and I was like, let me just text him before I forget, so he knows when he wakes up and he's driving down here that he should still come.
Yeah, that they weren't eaten by a dog man. Yeah. They're captured in some kind of portal realm and just not being able to let out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how long we've been talking, probably about 20, 30 minutes about just fun stuff. And my mind's fun, so we talked about it. But I wanted you to come down and talk about Lilith and stuff. I recently had a conversation with Bo from the Bump podcast, and he talked about Lilith with me. And I had over the years heard about Lilith from different people. And I told Bo, I said, every time, it's one of those topics that I'll go on the good old YouTube and I'll be like, what is Lilith or who is Lilith? And you have, 100 YouTube videos of everybody's opinion on what's going on. And I've watched these videos or listened to these videos. And I always walk away saying, I don't know what I just listened to.
Yeah.
Like I told Bo that. I was like, so hopefully you can illuminate me or else you're just going to give me a dud of a recording or something, you know? But he did. He did a great job talking to me about Lilith and, you know, from his perspectives. And what I gathered with him is that, and I think this is often the case, when I walk away from a topic and I'm trying to learn about something, I feel like I didn't learn anything. Or I'm like, what did I just listen to? I think it's because those topics usually have so many branches to go off that people who are presenting the topics may either do a poor job of acknowledging that and showing that, so that you're not trying to be, you know, singular minded with something that you should be thinking of several different instances. But also just the fact that it's so complex and so many branches that you can't cover it all in one sit down. And so if somebody doesn't understand that going in, they're going to be left confused. Like, wait, what did we actually accomplish here?
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of feel like Lilith does a lot of times. And when I sat down with Bo, the conversation went really well. And I felt like I walked away having a more of an understanding as maybe at least the roots of Lilith.
Right.
And I know when I was talking to him and you, like you guys share a lot of notes and communicate a lot about this stuff. What I found interesting was how Bo has his own personal connection to Lilith. And I don't want to get into that here. I'll let him tell that story on his recording with me. But you do as well. And I'm starting to wonder how many people have experiences with Lilith and don't even know it.
I think a lot. I think that you have a woman in white story in all cultures, all across the world, mm-hmm. everywhere. And sometimes that's what this appears as. I believe as a woman in white. Sometimes it's surrounded by other events and other, you know, paranormal things that are going on or whatever. But I think a lot of people encounter this entity and have no idea. You know, they don't know anything about the background. They don't. And, you know, kind of like what you were talking about with getting in and researching and, you know, going to YouTube and typing in who is Lilith or what is Lilith. It's kind of the same way that it started for me, you know, getting into this realm after, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, some things kind of steer you away from the paranormal. That's what happened to me. Mm. I had a whole lot of experiences when I was younger, and I was just like, look, I'm done with this. I'm not watching a horror movie. I'm not listening to anything paranormal. And then just over the years, I was like, you know what? I need to share my story. I'm going to get back into this. Mm. So as I did, you know, especially in my area, in Central Appalachia, you know, the hills and the hollers, I kept every story that I was hearing or every piece of media that was kind of, you know, even semi-local, I would always hear about, you know, this horned forest deity, and I would hear about this female bird-like deity and all these little things that would surround them, you know, and in the area more commonly known as Pan and Lilith. Mm. So I started kind of diving into it and looking into it, researching, doing a lot of this different stuff. And I started noticing the more that I would dive in, like the crazier things were getting in my own personal life.
Really?
You know, there were like mimic encounters that I would have. I would go out to my truck and be getting something, you know, late at night or whatever. And I would hear my wife call for me from the house, from like the porch. I would look, nobody there. Go back inside, she'd be dead asleep.
Wow.
You know, my youngest daughter, she saw me, that wasn't really me, kind of like a doppelganger situation that was going on. Just weird things. I heard these notes one time, like these three specific notes from like a, you know, like a recorder that kids get in music class, you know, when they're in school. I heard these three notes on this recorder, and it was just me and my son home. So there were a lot of different, like, little bitty things, but nothing that's like, you know, this ain't even going to create an episode. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal. Well, I kept going in researching, and again, crazy things are happening, and I'm tying a lot of these different stories in, and I know that Bo talked to you and brought up kind of like you know, his Lilith and Bigfoot connection and, yeah, and all this different stuff, I'm sure. But
yeah, like I started, you know, he actually brought that up towards, like, I would say the middle to end. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Anyway, just trying to talk, but you start hearing stories about people seeing this woman in white, mm-hmm, and having these wild men or these hairy men or these Bigfoot creatures, Sasquatch, around the area, and they're kind of like, you know, almost like they're working together. It's what it sounds like. What these stories sound like. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard from a friend of mine, his grandparents had passed on this legend, like in an area close to the Brakes Interstate Park, that his grandparents had a settlement there, like a little house seat. And, you know, every year during that time, you know, they raised a garden. They pretty much, they were self-sufficient. They took care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And around the same time, every single year, they would start hearing these whoops and these calls and all this stuff from the woods. And they kind of had this agreement that there was this portion of their garden that they wouldn't touch.
Was it like a sacrifice?
I'm guessing. Because they said as long as they would leave this stuff out there and leave it alone, these things wouldn't bother them. But the first couple of years, they said it was terrible. You know, pounding on the side of the house at night and screams and whoops and hollers and all this different stuff. Well, they also started finding these three-toed footprints. I mean, there's not a lot of things out there, you know, turkeys and stuff, but they know the wildlife. They know the signs.
Yeah.
There's these big three-toed footprints. And then they start seeing this woman in white. So you start hearing these stories and you start seeing these things and you start looking at connections. So I went into my research and I was like, you know, I keep hearing about this horned male deity, this forest god, you know, and I keep hearing about this female bird-like deity, and they keep kind of just crossing paths and coming together. So I started looking into, you know, just ancient civilizations and their gods and goddesses all through history, you know, from Sumer to now. Hmm. And all through history, you always have, you know, there are different names, but you always have these gods and goddesses that are described in the same way. You know, they look the same. They have the same symbology. They bring about the same kinds of things. So as I was looking into that research, and again, you know, a bunch of this crazy stuff was happening, I would take breaks and come back. And, well, even one day, my family, you know, my wife and kids, they were in Dollywood, you know, right here next door.
I've never even been there yet.
Okay, Tony, you gotta go.
I'm a local, yeah.
It's Dollywood.
I first have to take a vacation and figure out how to do that.
Dolly is the matron saint of Appalachia here, Central Appalachia. But anyway, they're in Dollywood that day. And I was like, I don't remember what the revelation was, but I just had like this revelation. And I was on the phone with somebody, maybe Lance, you know, my co-host Lance. And I was on the phone with him and I was like, dude, you got to hear this. And like, and I'm talking all this stuff. Well, my wife calls in the middle of that. I answer the phone and she's like, you know, almost panicking. I said, what is going on? You know, is everything okay? She said, we just sat down to eat lunch and a tree branch fell out of the tree here and fell on my youngest one, like scratched up the side of her face and hit her arm and all this different stuff. So I was like, man, like, I mean, I know coincidences happen.
Yeah.
I know accidents happen, especially with kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the timing of some of these things was just so weird.
Mm.
So all this is going on, you know, all these crazy things are happening, just these small little things. And I had came home one evening, you know, I think it was like a Friday evening, it'd been a long work week. And I got my redneck inflatable hot tub about back on the patio. So I was like, dude, I'm going to go out here. I've got the kids to bed.
I'm going to boil some water.
Yeah. I'm going to boil some water, take out there and out back and heat it up a little better. It's got jets. I mean, it works. It's got a pump.
I wouldn't have to boil water if they remembered to put the pool in the sun. I forgot to move the pool today.
Yeah. I put a roof over it. It's dumb.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I go out there and I'm like, I'm just going to relax for a little while. So I go out there, I'm getting my jets going, you know, got the heat cranked up. I go put my swimming trunks on, come out, got my towel, got my phone set up beside of me, and I'm listening to some podcast.
Probably the Confessionals.
Probably the Confessionals.
I mean, let's be honest.
Probably the Confessionals. But I, you know, I get in there, I kick back, I'm relaxing, and you know, I'm in that kind of like, I'm leaned back, my eyes are closed, you know, I'm relaxing. I'm in that weird, like, you know, liminal state of I'm not asleep, but I'm not really awake.
Mm.
So I remember hearing something, just a break or a crack or a twig snap, something that kind of startled me back up. Because, you know, it's the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my backyard, which gives me the creeps anyway, every time I'm out there. And I'm, you know, pretty vulnerable in my skivvies in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I open my eyes, I look across the way, and I have two outbuildings in my line of sight. And on the outbuilding on the left, I see this lady. This lady with dark black hair that's kind of draped down beside of her face. She's wearing a white shift. Not really like a dress or like a formal anything, but almost just like a shift that she's wearing. And she's kind of down behind, like on the backside of the hillside just enough that I can really only see her from like the knees up. But she kind of just leans out from behind the building and we make eye contact. And there was probably a couple seconds that I was like, you know, in this, am I still asleep? Like, what's going on? Until it finally hits, like, this ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what I'm seeing right. You know, I knew what all this is coming to me at you know, at once.
Are you connecting Lilith dots on this?
Not initially. Okay. Initially, it's just that, holy crap.
Something is happening,
and I'm out here all by myself.
Yeah.
You know, completely vulnerable. I'm here in this water. Like, I got to get out. I got to do this. I got to do that. So I'm looking at her and the panic sets in and then it starts clicking like, no, I know who this is. I know exactly what this is. So I jump at, but still, you know, I'm getting the heck out of there. Like I'm done. We ain't having a staring. I'm not having a staring contest with Lilith all night long, but it was almost like one of those things. There was this initial panic and then all this starts coming to me, but I never had this sense of, like she never did anything that you would take as menacing or as, you know, this is some kind of evil entity. And we'll kind of get into this a little more. It was almost like if I hadn't have been doing the research that I was doing, I would have been so curious and so intrigued, you know, would I have tried to communicate? Maybe. Would I have stayed around a little longer just to see what was going on and maybe been drawn to that?
Did she look real? Like a real human? Oh,
absolutely.
So like when you said communicate, you like if you weren't studying what you were studying, you would have thought this was an actual woman?
Yeah, it would have been really easily to say, well, this is just somebody here. I mean, I know good and well there's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm way off to myself. Nobody's going to be in my backyard behind one of my outbuildings in a shift. And again,
what is a shift? I don't even know what that
is. It's just like a... one of those like thin undergarment dress almost like, kind
like
of old things.
School, like yeah. Women's underwear under yeah. your dress kind of thing.
Yeah. Something like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what she was wearing, but it was solid white.
Okay.
Super dark hair contrasted with the solid white shift of a dress.
And skin color pale. What was the skin color?
Here's the crazy. I don't remember her face.
Mm.
I do not remember her face. Recall it.
I'm picturing that the girl. Wow. So these depictions in these movies of like the girl crawling out of the screen. What was that movie?
Like on The Ring.
The Ring. And was it Grudge? Grunge?
Yeah.
Grudge?
Grudge.
Grudge. Like those are white gown, black hair.
Japanese Liliths.
Let me say something here. This is like really struck me and it hadn't until he broke that down, how she looked. You remember that story I tried to tell you last night on the trail and you were like, stop talking. I want to hear that right now.
Tell that story.
I want to tell that now because I honestly think that's the same thing that happened to me.
And this is the rare occasion that I tell somebody to stop telling me a story because I'm like, save it for the show. We're walking through the woods and weird things are happening. He's about to tell me what he looked in the eyes of. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this right now, bro.
Yeah, I don't blame.
And it's funny because you say that is that, just this morning when I was getting ready, I was like, you know, I told them to remind me when we get in the truck to tell me that story, and they never did. I'm glad you're doing it now.
Well, real quick, and not to just what confirmed this whole situation for me is as I was busting it back into the house, you know, towel flapping behind me, my whole body saying, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back.
You did.
I've never been the smartest person ever. And my...
He's writing a book, by the way.
Too, actually. I mean, but, you know, it'll be small words.
A lot of pictures.
Lots of pictures.
I'm so glad I didn't drink my drink. A second sooner, I've been spraying. I was about... That's funny.
But anyway, I look back, you know, because I'm an idiot, and she was gone. But on the roof of the outbuilding,
no.
I bet you can't guess what was there.
An owl.
An owl.
Mm.
Staring me right in the eyes.
Wow. Wow.
Mm.
Now,
well, we heard owls last night, too, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. I knew coming in today you'd be hearing owls.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one this morning before I left.
Of course you did, sucker.
So I want to preface the story with the era that I was in, because like I think like that'll help with just, you know, telling the story a little bit, because
it's messing you up already, man.
A little bit. So this was
Is this affecting you because of the dots you're connecting right now?
A little bit, and just I think it's tough sometimes talking about, you know, where I came from and just, you know, what I was doing at the time. And, you know, it's good to look back sometimes and know, you know, what you came from, but sometimes it's tough too. Cause you're just like, man, this is like, you know, I was, you know, heavily involved in the occult. Definitely, you know, trying to contact, you know, entities and stuff at the time. And for me, it was just this whole journey of, you know, trying to, you know, sell my soul to achieve, you know, what I want to achieve in life. You know, I tell people a lot that when I went through that era, it was for, you know, money and fame and stuff like that. That's just the easy answer, I think, for people. I don't think that that's really the true answer. For me, it was more of a search for knowledge and really just power. I think that was more really what it was. I think in retrospect, when I'm able to go back to that, I think that's, you know, really what it was, because those are the most enticing things. I mean, what did Solomon want? Wisdom, knowledge. Yeah. What was his downfall? He wanted more. You know, I think that's was my whole thing, is same thing I said earlier about my dad's book. So it was the hidden knowledge, mm-hmm. right? So I think that during that period of time, you know, I definitely had tons of interactions with entities. You know, we talked about the, I'm sure this will get some nice comments, but I already know, you know, a lot of the meditations I was doing at the time were definitely opening up these chakras. They definitely exist, you know, but I don't think they come from a good place. And I know people argue the opposite of that, but I can tell you specifically for me, it wasn't a good thing. I used them specifically to contact entities, to go into another realm. Did it happen? Yeah, of course. But a lot of times these things would happen when I didn't expect it. And I think that's when I had like the most surreal or visceral moments, you know, with these things. And, you know, this particular instance, I was asleep. And again, I can preface it with no drugs, no drinking, no nothing. This wasn't a quote unquote sleep paralysis state either. So it wasn't one of those moments where you could say, well, maybe it was in some sort of lucid dream or something like that. I had real visceral moments with entities when I was awake. So I can tell you that this stuff is real, like for sure, especially if you're trying to contact it. And I wasn't, you guys, I wasn't trying to contact these things in a way that was good at all. Like this wasn't the, oh, I'm doing this stuff and I think it's good. And then these things are happening and I'm wondering why they're happening. We have to happen with a lot of people. They'll tell those stories. It wasn't like that. This was solely for purposes that weren't good.
You're being nefarious from the start.
Absolutely. I knew what I was doing. And so this particular night, I want to say, you know, the roommate at the time wasn't there. I think I was by myself. And I say that because, you know, a lot of times when you're alone is when some of the most, you know, crazier things happen. I remember I was asleep. I woke up and I was on my side and I was looking to my right, and there was an old lady in white laying next to me that looked like my grandmother who had died. So spoke to me like my grandmother, sounded like her. And she said, I don't know, hey, baby, something like that. How are you doing? Now, you got to understand this period of my time, like I am actively seeking these entities. I know this isn't my grandmother. I'm not delusional to think that this is what she is. I'm, you know, especially during that period of time, I'm definitely, you know, I'm kind of off my rocker anyway, if people know me. So I'm definitely, you know, he always jokes about me jumping in the portal and stuff. I mean, he's not joking. Like it's a joke, but it's not. I don't really fear these things. And I didn't even when I was seeking this, you know, evil energy, whatever you want to call it. And when she said that, I literally looked at her and smiled and laughed. And I said, no, you're not. I said, show yourself. She laughed back, but as she's laughing, the vocalization, the octave dropped. And the face started changing into something evil, but the white dress did not. The white, and it's very what you said. It was like a slip, almost like this nightgown type of thing. Mm-hmm. And she laughed, and I laughed back. And she said, basically, you know what I am. I said, yes, I've been waiting for you. Like, that's pretty much, you know, what I, stuff for me too. Cause, yeah. Yeah. And then she laughed again and body slid off the bed and, stood at the end of the bed. And, I don't remember what I yelled back at that moment. Because during that period of time, I you know, wanted to, wanted to achieve like something that, you know, whatever it was, you know, so bad I was, you know, willing to engage with these things. And, I look back on it now. A lot of it was them toying with me, too. They know I wanted it so bad. It was them trying to get me to a place where I would give it all up, which, you know, thankfully I didn't. But that was when you said that, though, it hit me like that's what it was. Like, I never till this moment, you know, thought about it like that was Lilith. That's who that entity was.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's what she wants is that obsession, because, you know, you were in this spot in your life. Yeah. That, you know, is bringing about these emotions, just even thinking back to. But I mean, when I'm doing this research and I'm looking into all this different stuff on my end, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a youth minister. I lead a teen ministry. Like, I'm in the Word almost every day. I'm in prayer throughout the day. I like to think that my walk with Christ is, I mean, obviously not where it needs to be. It never is. But, you know, I'm in a pretty good spot. I feel like, you know, Christ may think totally different. But there's still this sense of obsession there. Like you get drawn into, I want to learn more. I need to know more. I want to. And so on my end, I've thought about a lot. Like, did I draw her to me? Yeah. Did me asking so many of these questions in my own mind and looking for all of these answers and talking about it so much, you know, on my podcast and with in a bunch of different conversations with other people and really trying to tie into what is this entity? Who is she? You know, where did she come from? Why is she here? That was always my biggest thing. Why is she so prevalent here? Why do I hear so many of these emo teenage girls talking about Lilith? Why do I hear, or the media that I'm taking in, why are the people, these covens of witches that are practicing, you know, in my area, why is everybody talking about Lilith? So that's the rabbit holes I'm going down. And in my own mind, that's what I thought. There was an almost obsession there that I was like, well, you know, am I the reason that she showed up? Is she saying like, okay, you want to know? So here I am.
In my instance, it definitely felt like the entity was very happy that I knew it wasn't my grandmother.
It was like you're graduating.
Yeah. It was very thrilled that I was able to spot out something so easily. And then it was almost like she wasn't luring me away. It was almost like an enticement of the knowledge. Like if I kept going down this path, that eventually I would achieve what I wanted to. And I've told my story a lot on different podcasts and things, but you know, for me, there was that crossroads and I can look back on it now and know that I had a decision to make. It really was over my kids, like whether I was going to continue to take care of my family or I was going to discard them to achieve what I wanted to achieve. The road was there, but there was a lot of roadblocks that I'm positive God threw in my way to like shake me up to where I had to make that decision. And it was, and I wasn't on a path to God at the time. It actually took me probably 4 or 5 years after that, but I started down the path of responsibility and deciding not to do that. Because to me, I could not sell my family for it. And I think that was what they wanted, the final ultimately. Sacrifice. Yeah.
I mean, that's it's interesting you say that because just yesterday I was listening to, you know, I've said it throughout the years. I love NBA basketball. I just love it. I can't. I mean, like the people, the things that are going on in the sports world, it's becoming part of the entertainment industry, the music industry, Hollywood, the same stuff that we talk about on the show. It's happening in the sports industry. I love basketball. And LeBron just started a podcast with JJ Redick, the very first episode. The first thing I saw was, I was like, why is LeBron wearing a blue UN hat? That's peculiar. I was like, he's a blue hat. Like, what's going on there? And then like, literally as I was thinking that, they were talking about what it takes to be successful. And he goes, something like, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to sacrifice your family. He literally said that. And then he went into like the time that you spend with your family and stuff like that. But like he literally was saying that. It's kind of in the vein with what you're talking about. You came to a conclusion, apart from the idea of God helping you, that you weren't willing to do that ultimate sacrifice. And that's, I mean, I guess that's what they're looking for, the ultimate loyalty. I mean, you hear about Juice WRLD and what he did. And, mm-hmm. and you know, he before he died, he was very vocal about what he was doing and what he did. I just saw yesterday, you can say it was a Freudian slip, but Usher was accepting an award. And when he was talking, he's like, I just want to thank the devil. I mean, all the hard devotion or something like that. He kind of recovered. He literally said devil and you heard, he like cut the L off mid L. And, you know, you and I were talking about P. Diddy on the way over here and I want to get in the raunchiness of that. But, you know, the industry is dark.
Yeah.
And here's something that I don't, and you guys probably would be able to help me with this, but if I recall, it makes sense to me that the music industry would be so filthy with this, because wasn't it like Lucifer's job to like, didn't he like wasn't he like the worshiping angel in heaven or something
when
like that?
When he walked, his timbrels, which are music instruments, moved. So his literal movement is music. He was music. He was the embodiment of music.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he take something that God gifted him with and then turn it into a form to control our minds? Mm. And listen, music is easy to manipulate people. You get caught up in it. Half the time, you don't even know what you're listening to. It just sounds good. And before you know it, these words are guiding you down a path that you didn't even realize that you're doing. Listen, a lot of these pop stars, and I'll listen to their songs, and it's so fascinating. I was listening to Post Malone the other day, and there was a song he was singing, and it's almost like these guys make songs where they're battling within themselves over this selling their soul topic. Mm-hmm. Like they've done it. They don't really want to do it. A lot of these songs are odes to Hillel or Lucifer. It's written in where it seems like it's a song to the opposite sex, but it's really not. It's more of an ode to Lilith a lot of times, yep, because the spirit of Lilith and the spirit of today, what we're talking about.
It's her spirit.
It's her spirit because she is the whore, quote unquote, and that's what she's been presented as. And her whole ideology is to lure people into this over-sexualized agenda that's ultimately what Hillel or Lucifer is doing with music. And you see that time and time again. You know, the lyrics are triple layered a lot of times. The most simple lyrics can be. I'll listen to songs that are pop songs and people are like, oh, I could write that in my sleep. No, you can't, because those three sentences you heard that were so simple, they meant so much more when you look at the layers of who they're actually talking to, who they're praising. Mm-hmm. And you'll see this all the time. You see this with athletes too. When they talk, what God are they talking about when they say, I praise God or whatever? Mm-hmm. You got to look at between the lines of what these people are doing. And I think, you know, during my journey, I knew all that stuff. Like that was something that I actively understood and I sought out because that was attractive to me. And again, I think it was honestly knowledge and power. I really do. I don't think it was ever the fame or the money. All that just came with knowledge and power. That was just a byproduct. I think for me, the attraction was always having some sort of elite knowledge that no one else had. What I didn't realize, though, as I progressed in life and I started, you know, following God, and I got to that point where I, you know, really had a big shift where I'm like, you know, I'm going to follow God. And listen, it didn't happen overnight. It was definitely a process.
I've been witness to the process.
Right.
Like since I've met you,
right,
you've changed so much.
And I think I should, as a person, we should always strive to continually change too. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I realized with God was that I can have all the knowledge anyway. Like it was never like not there. Yeah. It's definitely there, but I can look at it from a lens that's different.
Yeah.
I can understand all this weird occult stuff going on around me. And it's nice to be able to present that to people and say, hey, this is what's going on. It's nice to be able to dig into the Bible and be able to say, hey, these are what these verses possibly could mean or do mean when it comes to the Hebrew. The Bible's a fantastic book where it's like, man, this is like riddled with so many great epic tales
that's why what you're saying right now is why you hear pastors say, I've been reading the Bible my whole life and I've never read that verse before, or I've never understood that verse the way I understand it now. It's because it's layered, and it's and the sooner you realize that, the more exciting the study becomes.
Justin and I were joking the other day on the phone. We're talking about how that he and I could spend an hour in the Bible a day, a piece, reading the exact same chapters and get completely different things out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about saying that, hey, this scripture means this when it clearly doesn't. Mm-hmm. What I mean is what it means to us.
And in saying that, there's a lot in these scriptures that aren't talked about that we use other suppositions from other texts to try to glean what's going on, because the Bible's just written for us. Like, at the end of the day, it's written to show us how to have a closer walk with God. It doesn't tell us about all the other crazy, fantastical stuff. That's why we go to all these other things and try to like pick the pieces together. But that's also why we get on these shows and we say, hey, these are theories. These are thoughts. Mm-hmm. These aren't facts, because we're just trying to figure things out, especially with Lilith. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the answer on Lilith. There's so many different ideas, and he and I ping pong ideas off each other about Lilith. I've got some crazy ideas too. He does as well. And it's, I think, that as we dig deeper in the Bible, not only do we get closer to God, but we also get closer to the truth. And I realize that too, where, man, I can still find the truth. I can still find the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I'm having way more fun doing it now than I ever was before. Because the other way, I really just felt constantly just oppressed, depressed, attacked. You know, as much as I felt like I was getting closer to knowledge and power, it was selling like bits of me every day. And that never pans out okay. I don't care how much money you get. It really doesn't. And these guys will also tell you that. You look at these guys that have money and power towards the end of their lives. Dude, Aleister Crowley, towards the end of his life, he did not want to be called the evilest man in the world anymore. He actually was like not wanting that moniker. And he went deeper and deeper into recession and hiding because, listen, man, he knew the end was coming. And that's what happens. All of these guys find that happening towards the end of their lives, where you're on top, man, when you're in your prime. When that prime leaves and you realize that the end's coming, you know, that's generally when people have that shift and that realization of, and that fear of what's, you know, across the other side.
Yeah.
No such thing as an atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and even if you like these guys that sell their souls and dabble with all that, and like you were trying to go down that road, I mean, you might have been getting pretty close, to be honest with you. And it's only by the grace of God that you were pulled out like that. And even in the moment, like I have my own stories with that kind of stuff, and not selling my soul, but never that crazy. But like, I mean, crazy as in like that into it. But my thoughts on the whole selling your soul thing is like, I don't think it's yours to give away, right?
Right.
And so the people that are doing what you were going down with, and all these musicians in the industry that do this stuff, like I think they're literally living under a lie. And you were talking about Post Malone, and I forget how you said it, but it made me feel like whatever song you're referring to, almost as if like there was this thing where it's like, I did this and I almost wish I didn't. I wish there was a way to undo it. And listen,
there is a way to undo it. That's the thing. Yeah, and a lot of these guys don't realize it. You know, Kanye West is another good example where it seems like he's constantly battling, right? He's
forth,
in back and forth. But I think what happens is they get very comfortable with the life that they live and the money they have. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there is that decision to have to make that turn. Well, maybe you have to give all that up to come back to God. And maybe that's where that battle's at. It's that, you know that story in the Bible where the rich man came to Jesus and asked him, you know, what he needs to do. And Jesus is basically like, you got to give it all up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
And that's where the statement, it's easier for a rich man to get through the eye of a needle than it is enter the kingdom of heaven.
Exactly.
But you know what I love about the Bible and about scripture? The very next chapter, maybe the very next verses, is the story of Zacchaeus.
Mm.
What is Zacchaeus? He's an absolutely filthy rich tax collector that Jesus goes into his home. Says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. Today I'm going to be eating with you. And by the end of that conversation, Zacchaeus is saved. Mm. He's given all of his wealth back to all these people that he's wronged. He's quadrupling it.
Yeah.
So Jesus shows, I'm making this statement, but I'm showing you that everything is possible through me.
Yes.
Through God.
Let me just say, anybody listening right now that maybe has done that, whether you're, you know, Kanye West, Post Malone, I don't think they're listening to my show. Or just a normal person that, you know, feels like they maybe went down the path that Joel was going down earlier in his life. You're living in a lie that you did sell your soul, and I don't believe you did. And I don't think it's irreparable. And so if you can just let go of that lie that you've been force fed and understand it's a lie, that is probably the launching pad into redemption. And so, I think it's important for you to understand that whether you believe me or not.
Yeah. It's never too late.
I think what you're describing with Kanye, I think some of these guys that are in it, like they may not even believe it. They might be like, I don't believe that. I'm too far in. There's no redemption.
Yeah.
And that right there, if you can break through that lie.
Well, it's so easy to get to that spot just as human beings for anybody. You mess up real bad. You hurt the people around you. You fall short of, and sometimes it's even harder after you've already received this grace of salvation that you fall off away from that, you know, you were walking this train track with God and y'all were eye to eye and everything was going great, man. And you were in the ministry and everything was just so good and you were seeing these blessings in your life and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you mess up because we're human and we mess up and you end up hurting the people around you and you end up tarnishing this reputation. And sometimes it's even the cases of people that you've ministered to and shared your testimony with. Well, how are they looking at you now? Oh, well, if this guy's doing this, you know, what does that mean? We get into a lot of these situations and it's so easy to just want to say, okay, I'm done. I'm not worthy enough to ever be in the spot that I was with God again. So if it can happen to people that have been legitimately saved, you know, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, how much easier is it for people that have never experienced that moment of salvation, that relationship with the creator of the universe? It'd be so much easier for them. So, and I'm speaking on this out of experience. I know how hard it was for me at one point to make my way back into this relationship with Christ in the way that, because I felt like I wasn't worthy. So I've got the enemy in my ear the whole time saying, well, you're not worthy enough. He's never going to accept you again. I've experienced salvation. I've experienced this relationship with Christ. So you have to bring yourself to a point and realize that, man, the grace of God is sufficient, period. It's sufficient no matter what you've done, what's happened, where you've been, where you're at. Again, your soul is not yours to give. So if you're listening to this lie that, oh, I've sold my soul, I'm so far away, there's redemption for you. There's never a gap too big for Jesus Christ to bring you back to him from. And here's the thing. He's running after you the whole time. You don't even got to, all you got to do is turn around. That's it. You don't have to run back for him. All you got to do is turn around and he's going to be right there face to face. You just got to say, hey, look, I'm done with this. I'm ready for you.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the tough thing is for people is to deal with the core of a public opinion a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that the Christian, quote unquote, realm is so judgmental to people who are trying to change a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all.
Yeah.
But I saw this girl the other day. She was an OnlyFans model. And I remember she was on the Whatever podcast. They'll have a lot of these.
Yeah.
Come on and talk. There's been a lot of, you know, Candace Owens been on there. A lot of different people have been on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl came on there. This is maybe a year ago or so. And, you know, she was touting how, you know, OnlyFans was great and all these things. And recently, she got saved. And
amen.
The Whatever podcast put it out as like a good thing. They were like, you know, listen, you know, people can change all this. People were so awful in the comments. People were just lighting her up, like, you know, and it's so sad that that's how people are. And I think for me, that happened a lot with me too. It still happens to me now where people are like, ah, Freemason, he could never change. He's done the blood oaths and all this stuff, which actually they have no idea what any of that stuff is. So the best part is it's not even close to that. So, but at the end of the day, you know, people will say that. They'll hear me say things they don't like about the Bible, and they say he's deceiving, seized, whatever. But that's not true. The truth is that I came back to God, and God let me in unconditionally.
Mm.
And fortunately for me, I'm built to have a lot of thick skin.
Different. I'm built
so
different.
I can deal with a lot of that. Yeah. But there's a lot of people out there that can't.
Yeah.
They change, and then everybody around them is throwing darts at them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't do that. Why are you allowed? That's the problem.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not up to you.
Let me say something. I was thinking about this today too, and we'll get back to Lilith eventually. I see it. And let me just use your example, because you're talking here and you're using yourself as an example. We've been friends for 3-4 years.
Not four.
4 years. And since I've been friends with you, I've seen dramatic changes for the better. You study a lot. You're constantly studying almost every Sunday or every other Sunday. You're shooting me a text message in the morning. Hey man, my pastor this Sunday said this and it really rang true here. And I've seen the growth in your life, right?
Dude, we've done plenty of podcasts with people who aren't Christians.
Yeah.
I don't disavow what they're saying. There'll be things I won't agree with, but it doesn't mean there aren't things I won't agree with either, because I can't discredit someone's time and energy they've done into research as well. You know, you could say that the Anunnaki were these aliens and they created us. And I don't necessarily think you're wrong on some parts of that, because I think there's something a little different than aliens, but that's where we disagree. But at the end of the day, I see where you're coming from. And I can't say that your 5 years, 10 years of research is null and void.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. Irrelevant. That's ridiculous. And that's the problem with Christianity today. There's no bridge or gap that we are able to create with other people to be able to have that line of communication, because we come off as a bunch of really idiots acting like we know everything. Yeah. You know, I saw somebody say something the other day that really made a lot of sense to me. People who actually research and study are the first people to want to learn what you're saying that's different, because they don't tell you that you're not, that you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you quoted the Talmud. Oh, the Talmud. Rah. You know what I mean? So it's like they want to know what that is. What is the Talmud? Let me go look at that. Oh, is there some validity there? Oh, man, these are rabbis that studied for thousands of years. There's probably something there that could be true. Maybe not all of it. You know, it's things like that where we find as humans, the more we research, the more we look into things, the more we're open-minded. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be things where you come across and say, you know what, I researched that thoroughly. I don't believe it. That's me personally. It doesn't line up with my belief system and my worldview. That's fine. I'm totally fine with that. But those people will generally not get mad at other people for thinking something differently. Right. They're very open-minded to letting you speak.
Yeah.
But this culture that's been created on social media, this culture that's been created around anything that's different than what you think, is very detrimental, honestly, to what the Christian movement should be.
Mm, yep.
We should be very open to letting people speak and talk and speaking their minds. You know, at the end of the day, I don't have to agree with you, but I can totally respect you. And that's a very important thing I think we need to have. Speaking of my pastor, he said this on the pulpit. He's like, you should have friends from other religions and everything. He said, because they will give you something that you don't have, a different perspective. He's like, you may believe differently than them. Mm. He's like, but I have friends from all different walks of life. He's like, they're great people. He's like, do I think that my worldview is the way that, you know, I'm led to believe that it is? Yes. He's like, but that doesn't disavow someone
as a person, as a human being. That's our problem right now. We're dehumanizing each other left and right. And Christians are the absolute worst at dehumanizing each other and always screaming about hell. The reason that we should want to be with Christ is not to not go to hell.
Bingo.
That should be the last thing we're thinking about. That's just a byproduct.
Yep.
That has nothing to do with why we should actually be connecting to our neighbors in the first place.
Well, the thing is, and don't get me wrong, you need to have a close group of brothers and sisters in Christ to share life with.
Absolutely.
You need that. It's great for your spiritual growth. It's great for everything. And the Bible tells us that we need that.
Iron sharpeneth iron.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, what is our job as Christians? What commandment did Christ give to us as disciples to go and create more? Well, how do we do that? Well, yeah, one of those ways is iron sharpening iron. And those people, those OnlyFans models that are getting blasted on social media, we're supposed to come around and say, nah, you know what? Don't pay any attention to this. This is what you need to do. These are your next steps.
You've now been made whole.
You. You have, absolutely. Yep. And then again, at the end of that, now, don't get me wrong. God can do whatever God wants to do. If he wants to come to each and every individual person in this huge divine way of salvation, fantastic. But we're here for a reason. We have a job to do. And how are we going to be doing our job as creating disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit if we're not even willing to have conversations with people that think differently than we do?
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that. That's our job. You can't just walk up to people. We're not Jesus. We're not walking up to people and saying, hey, follow me. Okay. All right. I'm right after you. And even again, the people that he went to and told, hey, follow me, they stood on the river and watched his cousin Crazy John baptize him, and the skies open up, and the Spirit of God come down like a dove and rest upon him, and an audible voice from heaven says, this is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased. They watched a miracle.
There's your sign.
<It's> like, so if you saw a guy and that happened to you, and he come up and said, hey, follow me, absolutely.
Bet.
I'm going wherever you go. But it's our job. It's our job as Christians, as followers of Christ, of people who have experienced that moment of salvation and sweet, sweet, sweet forgiveness and grace and mercy and love and compassion and joy. That moment from salvation until we leave here, from salvation to sanctification. Our job is to create disciples, and you can't do that without having conversations.
And part of that conversation is also just leading by example. It's not what people think that it is, that you're beating someone over the head with the Bible and pointing out all their flaws and telling them they're wrong. That happens so much, especially with social media. You didn't read that verse right. Let me tell you how to read it. Because if you read it like this theologian said, it's the correct way. Dude, you just ran everybody off. That is not how that we live Christ-like. Living Christ-like is living. It is actually the embodiment of it. So that is us. It could be as simple as, I don't know, somebody in the line at the grocery store can't afford something and you got the money to do it. Something as simple as that. It's not even bringing up God sometimes. It's just the way that we walk.
Yeah. I tell my teens all the time, spreading the gospel is not always standing on a pedestal and Bible thumping.
Right.
It's seeing somebody drop a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup in the grocery store out of their buggy and picking it up and giving it back to them and putting a hand on the shoulder and saying, God bless you. Have a good day.
Mm.
That's spreading the gospel. That's showing somebody. I mean, you don't know what kind of day that person's having.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know their history. You don't know where they've been. That one act of kindness, God bless, may stick in their head. And I want to know more about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell them all the time, like, the worst possible thing that I experience on a day-to-day basis, to me, that, I mean, in my spirit, in my core, are these absolutely miserable Christians that are just the epitome of why nobody wants to come to faith in Jesus Christ. These people that you walk in on Sunday morning and you sit down in a different place and somebody comes up behind you and pecks you on the shoulder. This is my seat.
My seat.
I've sat here for 27 years.
Yo, it's like the church is like the only place that they don't do assigned seats, but everybody has an assigned seat.
Everybody has an assigned seat. So like funny. These miserable kids. Like I want to be the guy. I want to be the guy that people are looking at and saying, what is wrong with that dude?
Yeah.
And whatever he has, I want it.
So I what you're talking about, every time there's this guy, I had just started going to church for real. And there's this guy and he was just the meanest person, like just mean. And I wound up, it was when I was driving truck and I wound up doing a delivery to this one place and he was my receiver. And I was like, let's see how this goes, you know, because he was just so mean at church that like I avoided him, right? And he was really mean at work too, and I wound up having that as a route, and so I went in there all the time, and I started talking to other people that worked in there. I forget the guy's name, but they're like, yeah, he's miserable to everybody. He's just a mean, mean, mean person. And I start going, I go to church with him. and they're like, he goes to church. I'm like, oh yeah, he goes to church. I started blowing his cover. And I started, I went there for like a couple of years. And I started like being overly nice to him. Like overly nice to him. And like acting like I didn't realize how mean he was. And I'd go over and like, hey man, how you doing and stuff? And just start talking to him or like just try to like, just forcing conversation with him, he started cracking smiles with me. I'd never saw that guy smile in my life. And he was mean. By the time I was done there, he was mean to everybody but me.
Breaking down
the
barriers.
He was so nice to me. And like, I don't know what made me go down that road, but like he was one of those mean Christians. He's just mean, 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 mean.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are you such a mean person? He was nice to me though, after a while. I started telling him like, you just gotta be really nice to him all the time and just like force yourself into his life. He'll start liking you.
Kill like, it with kindness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just crazy. But, well, that happened. I don't know how we.
Well, like, we just had church. That's what we call church. Like, we just take kinda, that, Lilith.
Yeah. Take it. Oh, that's what we were talking about, Lilith. I was trying to think.
Before we do move on, I just want to say really, really quickly that what Joel or what these entities or Hillel, Lucifer, what they didn't know, Joel's been carrying a trump card this entire time.
Hmm.
He's a ginger. He doesn't have a soul to sell. It's not that his soul is not his own. He doesn't have one.
The people listening right now, you're a ginger too. That's why I guess you have license to say it, right?
I can say that. Yeah. I can say it.
Man. Listen, how do we make that hard transition? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Before we transition anywhere, I got to transition into the restroom because I go to the bathroom. So let's take a break. And when we come back, maybe we'll either be here or we won't. If we aren't here, it's because it's an overtime episode and we decided to make it an overtime. So if you're not a member and I don't come back, I'll just say it right now. Thanks for listening to this most ADHD episode that we've ever done. I appreciate you guys listening and watching on YouTube.
We laughed. We cried. We had a great time.
We talked about journeys, hunting monsters, running from everything. Hopefully something grabbed you on this one.
Yeah.
And until next Tuesday, stay safe, take care. Remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. And if there is more, members, you know where to go.
Thought my old motto was a VA. I was working four cylinders to death. Put it on me, no teammate. Dreams running on fumes, don't rest. You could bargain for my soul for a mansion and a couple billboards, no less. Yeah. Thank God for a couple roadblocks. I don't know if I'd have stopped where the road ends. Bottle and I promise ain't sipping.
many years on the sidelines, trying to be the highlight, but under the bright lights, breaking all the guidelines. Yeah, Mr. Bull with no lifelines. Yeah, screaming, I don't need you. Fighting, but I'm free too. Neon lights make a path for my breath, like smoke in the cold every weekend. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing. Yeah, try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping. Yeah, drowning in my vices, I thought I was flying. Yeah, using darkness for my lighting, missing with the timing. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.